This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but the day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Artie, thanks for jumping on with us, as always, as we welcome you in. We'll start with Kirby Smart's comments, and he did not seem like he was a fan of the possible third recruiting cycle yesterday. He doesn't think that someone's just time before their senior year because it matters, and he kind of alluded to the idea of guys not playing about. What percentage of college, not high school coaches, college coaches feel that same way that you think Kirby Smart does?
You know, I think the more they think about it, I think a bigger percentage, I don't know what the percentage is, but I think the percentage goes up as you really kind of think this thing out. I mean, a lot of times you propose something and it sounds good initially, then you start really diving into it and thinking about all the possibilities. And then you kind of start to reconsider, and I think some of the coaches are starting to reconsider. We're already seeing, you know, obviously opt-outs and in college football, but you could possibly see, and we talked about this, you could possibly see opt-outs in high school football if you sign in June or, you know, before the season. Guys thinking, well, I'm going to preserve my I don't want to get hurt, so I'm going to save myself and you know, try to start working on some NIL money or something like that when I get to college in January. So everything's been pushed up forward for the most part. Most majority of guys you know, enroll in January and you know, obviously sign in December, and I think pushing it up to June is just, I don't know. I think there's a lot of things that they really need to think about before they really think of seriously about making that a rule.
So that's one of the current coaches in the game that a lot of people have respect for his opinions. A former coach, Nick Saban, the greatest coach of all time, had plenty of opinions yesterday that he shared with not just Condris but made its way to the public. What was your biggest takeaway with some of the comments that he made that have a lot to do with recruiting, Richard?
You know, I'm not going to be I really just saw bits and pieces. I didn't really dive into everything that he said. I had some things going on work-wise, but as far as NIL, obviously I did catch that part where he talked about NIL and having to worry about that. Now I think if I'm not mistaken, that had a pretty good impact on his decision to retire. So NIL was just right now until they get the grasp of it and Congress intervenes and makes it nationwide uniformity type law. I mean, I just think that you're going to continue to see coaches. You've seen it, in basketball. You're seeing it in football. You're going to see more coaches, especially the older coaches, just throw their hands up and say, I'm leaving.
Richard Davenport is with us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. So, Richard, have you maintained or kept two signing periods a year? You have February and December now, but you moved them around, maybe moved one off of December. Would there be an appetite for having one prior to the high school season and then maybe free up? Because you think about the coach's time and everything going on in December. You got staff that are looking to leave, staff you have to hire. You've got the NIL situation that you got to get players locked down because the portal opens then. Is December too jammed up for these coaches, or is signing day really a nothing because all the heavy lifting's been done going in? Would there be an appetite to move that off of December and somewhere else in the calendar to make December, and I didn't even mention if you had bowl prep to deal with, December seems so loaded after the season for any head coach.
Yeah, I think the proposal that they got now, I mean, as far as being the first Wednesday in December, I think I just don't know if there's going to be too many people, as far as in high school football, wanting to have ceremonies during their season. Coaches are pretty particular about distractions on the high school level during their season. So I think that probably that first Wednesday is about the only other time that you could really do it. And have a little bit of free time, to focus on bow prep, getting ready for the portal. It's obviously just so jam packed that coaches are pretty much fried. Once January comes around, because they're still focusing on the portal and in some cases still focusing on recruiting high school level. But for the most part, that's already wrapped up in December. But I just don't know. I don't have a good answer for you other than I kind of question whether or not you can have it earlier than December. I really do, because kids are so focused on the season and high school coaches are so focused on the season. But I think that's a good compromise, the first Wednesday in December for their college coaches.
In your opinion, this fear that high school kids would take the year off or opt out their senior year, is that just saber rattling? Is that just using what seems to be an easy to understand excuse? Because I don't buy for a second that that's going to be a big issue. You may have a few. I'm not saying it's going to be an absolute, but I don't think you're going to have this mass of kids that get college scholarships not play their senior year of high school. Where do you come down on that? Is that going to be a big issue if they had a signing period prior to the high school season beginning?
I tend to agree with you. It would probably just be a few, but what's kind of crazy, we've seen in the past of trends starting and then other people follow and then. It may be just a few initially, then it may be a few more, the next few years. I don't know. Especially five stars. You think, those guys are, their NIL money is, can be pretty significant. And
there's 15 or 20 of those around the country each given year.
Right. But totally. I'm just saying that those are the ones that you would be concerned about. No, right. Do I believe that it'd be a mass? No, but could it grow into more? Yeah, I could see that because, like I said, you see tendencies, and then other people start picking up on that and thinking, well, that's not such a bad idea, and maybe if you're a high-rated four-star, and you think, well, my NIL money possibilities are pretty significant too, not only just five stars. So I'll make this an example. Caleb Williams from USC, you know, the guy initially, I don't know if he's still talking about, you know, whatever team that drafts him, he wants a piece of ownership or whatever. Mm-hmm. We never thought you would ever see anything like that. But you get some of the crazy parents or crazy uncles, telling these kids what to do and advising them, and there's no telling what could possibly happen. But at the same time, I tend to agree with you. But until it happens, you truly don't know until, you know, after a few years.
Yeah. Here's a wild story that came out yesterday. It was confirmed by Josh Payne, who I think does a really good job college football in 247 Sports. Richard, there was an SEC player this year that threatened to sit out a bowl game if he didn't get in more NIL money. And he ended up playing. But is that something that we could see and hear more whispers of? Is guys threatening to sit out not just bowl games but bigger games on the idea that they need to make more money prior to that game?
Well, I mean, that's just that's just maybe just one example that kind of leaks out. I guarantee you there's a lot of cases that we don't know about.
Absolutely.
That are behind the scenes that are never mentioned, never leaked out.
Absolutely.
So I tend to think that you're going to continue to see stuff like that. And again, that's, you know, it's just the nature of the business when you involve money and pretty sizable amounts of money, stuff like that's going to happen.
How you feeling about this basketball game tonight? Are these guys going to respond after playing one of the worst games of the season against the Vanderbilt Commodores earlier this year?
They ought to. That was an embarrassing performance, and they, you know, here's the deal. I mean, obviously, they're not going to go to the NCAA tournament unless they miraculously, you know, win five in a row. But you know, if you have some pride about yourself, you look back at that game and see that was one of the worst performances of the season, and you embarrassed yourself, and you know, hey, let's try to finish strong, at least win a couple of games, and you know, maybe go to the NIT or what have you. But you, from a pride perspective, man, you better come out there and play hard and try to, you know, kind of redeem yourself.
All right, Richard, good stuff this morning. A lot moving and shaking, a lot of moving parts right now on your beat, and we appreciate some of your time this morning to discuss the big issues when it comes to early signing periods and high school athletes.
Yeah, well, it's crazy time, and hopefully they get a grasp of it and get some rules in place, and we can see a little bit more consistency.
All right, Richard Davenport with us on the McLarty Daniel Highline. RD, we'll talk to you next week. All right, appreciate Richard joining us this morning. And like I said, a lot happening, a lot shaking around there. Are you going to a big pub crawl this weekend in Nashville?
Yeah, there might be a St. Patrick's Day party. There might be another soiree or two that I'm going to play some golf down here. I've got a friend that's got a connection at a nicer course, so I'm gonna have I know this is hard to believe, but I'm gonna have a little bit of fun this week in addition to pouring my heart and soul out for this radio station.
Well, what happens if the Hogs are not successful tonight? So you're just going to kill
here.
2 days?
Kill 2 days. I'm going to make sure that I'm doing work remotely. I've still got a good chance.
Big C, should we just charge him some vacation time? Big C ain't listening this morning.
Will, Big C, someone, anybody. Anyone.
Yes, no
yes,
doubt.
Absolutely. I had to think for 10 seconds.
So Arkansas baseball wins yesterday, and it's nice to see that Vahiba Loy starting to hit a little bit.
The 1-0 to Loy. He swings and lines another base hit. That's through the left side to make it 3-0 as Wilsmeyer comes in. And nice to see your bases loaded, one out. All three runners score. Loy knocks in his 15th.
This was a guy that comes over from Sacramento State, coincidentally, who I was watching play basketball last night. And I was mentioning, oh, we got our shortstop from there. And Vahiba has been known as a power guy since arrived in Arkansas. I hadn't necessarily showcased that the first couple games, but has started to get on track, hit that like 464-yard bomb this weekend, gets a hit yesterday. And Dave Van Horn, he likes what he's seeing.
We know he can hit. We've seen him hit, and yeah, I think, like I've said many times, I felt like he came out of the blocks pressing a little bit, and he's starting to settle in. I love the walk he took today on a slider, I think full count, down way a little bit. He's been hitting it hard. You know, he hit a ball into the wind, and he didn't get all of it. He pulls it, it's out of the park. You know, on a night like tonight, with the way the wind's blowing, he's got to get that one a little bit better, but he still hit it good. And, you know, on a calm day, ball's out of the park. So really good to see some of those guys swinging it.
So it was a closer game, Tommy, than some may have liked, 4-2. Arkansas struggled once again with runners in scoring position and guys on base. They were 2-15 with guys on base and 2-11 with runners in scoring position. We're about to enter conference play. Now, Missouri is not exactly the creme de la creme of this league, but bats need to wake up a little bit, and they're a little sleepy right now. Pitching's where it's not all the way where it needs to be, but bats got to wake up a little bit.
Colin Fisher had a better performance, better outing, lowered his ERA, was staked to a good lead. Stovall had a 2-RBI single early. Aloy, as you mentioned, the RBI single, wasn't a lot of power in it, but Dave just talked about that in the wind and the way it was. Had a little trouble with allowing some runs with some of the relief pitching. Fisher ends up getting the win. If there's one thing I hear people talking about, and I think it's the low-hanging fruit, is, you know, particularly it's been the middle of the lineup at times, but, you know, yeah. I mean, you'd like to see a little more pop and production at the plate. It's not hot yet. Ball's not flying as far. Let's let it get warmed up a little bit and see what happens. But this weekend will be the first, you know, measuring stick we should care about, and that's Missouri coming in. Now, they're not a great SEC team by comparison to the other SEC schools, but it is a conference series this weekend. You are at home this weekend with Missouri, and, you know, I think if you're thinking sweep or bust, that's probably a little bit too high, but I'm not saying Arkansas can't come in and take care of that. Let's see how they do against SEC pitching. I'll be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit concerned about some of the hitting as you step up to better SEC pitching, but we need to see how things go because you got LSU at the end of the month at home, and that's going to be a huge measuring stick. And right now that'd be, you know, 1-2 in this league and maybe 1-2 in the polls by the time they get here.
You talk about a heavily attended event. And by the way, Tommy, how many, 40, 50 extra tickets for this weekend? Or is it 60?
For this weekend?
Yeah. Or is it 70?
Not for this weekend. Are you talking about the LSU weekend at the end of the month?
This weekend, LSU weekend, you're the ticket. Right?
I don't have 70, but I've got a few for this weekend. So.
Well, if you need some tickets, you should just berate Tommy.
Just call Ty. He can get you a hold of it. Put Ty's number out there. He can get a hold of me.
Consistent emails, consistent texts. Yeah. But
to you next week.
Yeah, after the games this week. You mentioned the LSU series, and I was reading. I think it was a D1 baseball article or a collegiate. Sometimes I get those mixed up, and that's what they were talking about. Is if Arkansas and LSU keep on track to where they're at with the Razorbacks and the Tigers, again, perennially being two of the better teams in the SEC. LSU got the title last year. They've gotten a lot more than you have, and since you have zero, and they've gotten some under Burtman, Maneri, and now Jay Johnson, that's going to be the baseball.
Well, how many do they have, Ty?
Was it seven?
That's a good guess. I don't know if that's the right number or not.
I mean, that's the
you
best.
You said it with confidence, though.
It's like and people can get mad at this all they want. That's the best baseball job in the country, not in Fayetteville. The best baseball job and the best football job in the country are in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The football team has had three straight coaches win a national championship. I don't know if Kelly's going to. The baseball program's the same way. Those are the two best jobs in their respective sports. Now, the basketball, it's down. Arkansas's got a way better basketball job than that. Those are the two best jobs in the country, and you can't convince me otherwise. But, again, it's going to be an awesome weekend. You struggled against LSU for like a decade, and you finally got the monkey off your back. Or the, what was it, not the rat, Tommy. It was the possum. You got the possum off your back after you were up big in that one game in Baton Rouge, and then you came back and won. But that's the series people are looking forward to. You got Florida coming in here. You got some other ranked opponents on the schedule. I mean, this is a really fun year when you look at Arkansas and the opponents they're welcoming in to Ballmarker Stadium. And next year, you're apparently getting Texas and Tennessee that are coming in to your house, which you can look forward to.
Are you confident about that number? Do you know that, or do you just pull that number out of thin air?
Maneri's got one. Johnson's got one. I'm going to say it's like five. I'm going to say Burtman got three. What's it at?
Three. So you think it's five now, not seven?
Yeah.
So you're going to erase your previous answer on LSU
seven?
National Championships.
Did I
or is it five?
Seven?
I don't know. I mean, you said it with confidence,
Maneri,
so I looked it up.
Has one. Johnson got one. Burtman's, I think, got at least three. So I'm going to split the difference. Six. I'm going to final answer six.
Are you slamming the box? Howie, final answer.
Yes. Deal or no deal?
Wrong.
Deal.
You were wrong. You should have stayed with seven. It's seven.
Is it actually
LSU
seven?
Has seven national. Now, for bonus points to redeem yourself so Clay Henry doesn't hang his head in shame with you, how many times has LSU been the College World Series runner-up?
Runner-up? Man, that happened at I think they lost once to South Carolina the past decade. Three?
One time.
Did they lose to South Carolina, Tommy?
I don't know. It's 2017. Now, this is all according to Wikipedia.
It was South Carolina or Florida they lost to, I think. They lost either O'Sullivan or one of those Ray Tanner teams back in the day. But, yeah, that is, again, the best baseball program in the country, and you get to welcome them in at the end of the month, which should be a lot of fun. That's one of those situations we sometimes talk about, increasing the size of Ballmarker Stadium. Tommy, that would be a weekend that you'd actually like to increase capacity to Ballmarker with that amount of energy and enthusiasm, and the fact that your baseball team could potentially be number one in the country at that point. Morning, Clay.
He's the dark, shadowy figure in the background here, but it's Clay Henry with his head held in shame. But you did get your first guess right at seven. Okay. But that is going to be a huge – I mean, can't get caught in front of a horse. You got to play Missouri this weekend. You got two series to play. And then you play LSU in what could be maybe the biggest regular season weekend in college baseball – at the end of March. Now, again, it doesn't mean nothing if you go and lose these next two series, but you got to get some of this hitting going. But that's the thing to me that would motivate anybody right now is, hey, we want that to be an epic weekend. Because that, Clay, I don't know, Clay just walked in. Would that be maybe the biggest weekend of college baseball to ever happen at Ballmarker if it pans out?
Well, I think every time when you have Arkansas LSU, that's a big weekend. And
but this could be one versus two.
It could be one versus two, and we've had one versus two before. We had one versus two when Arizona State came in. I'm going to give Ty a chance to correct something, a mistake he just made.
Just one?
Yeah.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit ArlingtonHotel.com for more details. That's ArlingtonHotel.com.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile device. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Well, it seems like the Morning Rush constituents and our entourage are roundabout listeners based on the amount of texting that we received on that.
Me too.
And Clay and Tommy pushed it, so I get that. I want to get into, and this is a beef of nine, not necessarily what Nick Saban said, but whatever coaches have said. This is the big college football story from yesterday. It's funny seeing Nick Saban next to Ted Cruz, of all people. But listen to his comments regarding the sport, regarding to where things are moving, and what he had to say about NIL.
All the things that I believed in for all these years, 50 years of coaching, no longer exist in college athletics. So it's always was about developing players. It was always about helping people be more successful in life. My wife even said to me, we'd have all the recruits over on Sunday with their parents for breakfast, and she would always meet with the mothers and talk about how she was going to help and impact their sons and how they would be well taken care of. And she came to me, like right before I retired and said, why are we doing this? And I said, what do you mean? She said, all they care about is how much you're going to pay them. They don't care about how you're going to develop them, which is all what we've always done. So why are we doing this?
Now, if there's anyone in college football or college sports as a whole that you should at least listen to what he says about a topic, it's that guy, Nick Saban. You guys know I have a great admiration and respect for what the guy said. I hate playing
man
him
because
Arkansas.
Hate.
Yeah, man crush, whatever. I like the way how he dresses and how he does things and how he goes about his daily business. But there are plenty of other coaches. Here's my beef this morning. There are plenty of other coaches that have that same like mindset that Nick. Nick Saban is worth more than he's ever made for Alabama. I think we can agree on that. He was making like $10 million or whatever it was before he retired. He's worth more to that university. What I will say is there are plenty of college football coaches out there that share that same thought, that share the exact same ideology that we just heard out of Nick Saban's mouth, that are not worth the money they're being paid. And the reason I take issue with that is because we have not heard Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, here at home in Fayetteville from Sam Pittman, that these egregious coaching salaries that just keep booming, that just keep going up, that they need to address that. You won't hear that at all. That is my beef this morning when it comes to this discussion, that these egregious things that
hang
have
on,
been...
Hang on, hang on, whoa, whoa, whoa.
So you're suggesting the coaches should stump for pay cuts and coaching salary? Am I hearing you wrong?
Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that I keep hearing the same consistent notions from all these college football coaches because they're the biggest guys on the campus, right? We hear more from college football coaches than we do college basketball or baseball or whatever. What I'm saying is you can't be talking out of your mouth about one thing about this is out of hand, this is out of line, like these guys aren't worth that much, but at the same time, there's plenty of college football coaches that are not worth the money they're being paid. I would argue, and again, I'm just bringing this to home. This is not, I could talk this about many other college football coaches. Sam was what, paid $6 million last year? He was not worth that for a 4-8 football season. Now he was worth more 2 years ago. In 2021, he was only making, what, 4.2? But there are so many college football coaches out there that are not worth the money they're being paid. And you can have the same thought, but that just drives me up a wall when I hear that same consistent sayings from these guys when it comes to salaries and discussions.
Here's, you know, now this will never happen, but if Tommy Kraft was in charge, we could just wave a magic wand, right? What's the average coaching salary in the SEC? $7 or $8 million, right? $8 million times 16 schools coming in. That's $128 million a year. I'm probably fairly close, wouldn't you say, Clay?
Yes.
In the pool of the salaries?
You're in the ballpark.
All right, so let's just say we put $130 million aside, and at the end of the year, the league champion coach is going to get first place money. The runner-up's going to get this amount of money, and we're going to go all the way down.
You just described the PGA Tour.
Exactly. Some kind of fresh thought. But what if, you talk about a different approach to coaching. What if the last place coach in this league got $1 million, but the first place, the one that won the championship, got, $15 million?
You could even do it like, the guys that the bottom half of the field, they missed the cut. They got zero.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the labor laws would allow for zero. But my point is, these coaches, now what I'm proposing is not a realistic solution. It's easy to like, isn't it?
Oh, I love it.
And then what if you did the same thing with the NIL money, all right? We're going to pull all the NIL money from the SEC and all of it together totals this, and then we're going to break it out by team. And then you wouldn't have to worry about, do they care about winning?
Or
do they care about your team winning? Or they wouldn't care because you wouldn't have to worry about it because now they're playing for the money.
If you didn't win a starting position, you didn't get paid.
Yeah, but that's because the coach doesn't like me.
I know that.
And then you just bust it up. All right, we're going to put the money in a pot.
He didn't like you as much, that's for sure.
Everybody would have an excuse as to why they didn't win. But at the end, hey, we're going to pay you based on your performance. That's what Hunter Yurchek's been all about. You ought to get paid on performance. Yeah. That's what they ought to do in college football. You put all the coaches' salaries in one pot and pay it out 1 through 16 in the SEC based
Tommy
on
Kraft.
Performance.
Tommy, I've heard
SEC
people
commissioner.
Say that's not real life. It is real life.
Yes, exactly real life.
Your commission staff is paid on how they perform, right?
Yep. I could rank the sales staff 1 through 12 pretty easy based on performance.
Yep. Why don't you do that?
And guess what? Their salaries pretty well line up with performance. It works that way everywhere else in life. It works that way on the PGA Tour like you were just talking about. It works except Liv. They get paid in advance, I guess, whether they work or not. But they're going to fix all that. But if you win the U.S. Open, you get the biggest check. You don't make the cut, you get zero.
Love it,
so,
Tommy.
So if you finished number one in the SEC, head coach gets $15 million or whatever the numbers work at. If you're 16th in the league, that head coach gets $500,000. That's his salary.
Chris in Fayetteville with a tremendous text this morning, and he's spot on. There are plenty of young radio guys that are not worth their share as well. Chris, you're accurate on that. I don't know who you're speaking to this morning, but you are you are accurate on that.
You are speaking to all of us.
Yeah, Ben in Little Rock says, it sounds like Ty is stumping to have his salary cut so Tommy can give it to the Edge Collective.
Well, I don't think that's where I'd place it.
I will say that.
It would not help the Edge Collective.
It's radio salary. It's minute.
But they talk about these schools. Hey, I heard Ruskin and Zach talk about that. I can't completely disagree. You're getting this $60 million, $70 million check from the network, from the league distributions that's funded by TV money. Some of that money should go to NIL. That's hard to disagree with. But what if the league said, instead of paying each school $70 million, we're going to pay you $50 million or whatever,
uh-huh.
and we're going to put the difference in a NIL fund for your school.
And that's all you got.
And that's what you got. But we're going to break it out 1 through 16, and one gets more than two, two gets more than three. Now, you couldn't do the N gets zero, but, you know, then everybody worries about, hey, do these guys want to win or not win or whatever? Well, that take the desire to win off the table. Yeah, put your money where your mouth is. You think you're a big old boy? Well, come on in here. Let's go.
What I don't think is going to work is that you're asking fans to pay this, and pay this.
It's not working.
Yep.
It's not working unless your team is winning 10-plus games a year. And those schools are having no trouble rallying support. But, for the rest of the world,
people don't like it.
No.
Even those people say, wait a minute, I already gave to the max. I gave to where it hurt.
Whoa. I gave at the office. I gave at the office.
And Dustin brings up an important point. He's listening to Prairie Grove this morning on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. He pointed out, Saban didn't say the kids aren't worth the money. What he's saying is all they care about is money and still developing his football players. And I remember Chris Lowe's article came out, and again, Nick Saban just kind of reiterated that in the comments that he just made, that the discussion is only starting with money. And, I mean, listen, I realize that we're in different lines of work now, and a lot of you listening have never played a college sport. I'd say 99.9% of you have never played a collegiate sport. But when you walked in to the office, what my dad told me, and I can still remember the interview that we had, my dad told me ask for salaries the dead last thing. Like, it's a topic, it's a discussion. Like, you have to know at some point. Like, if you're going to work in any line of work, you have to know, hey, how much can I expect to make in the future at that point? What we start with. And it can still be a discussion, I think. I don't want to begrudge kids for asking about money, but I think the issue is how Nick Saban framed it. It's the first thing, and in some cases, it's the only thing.
Listen, I've interviewed many people for open positions. Clay, you've done the same thing. Ty, you've sat through. We, as the employer, and as ones I've sat through, and I've been on this same job 20 years, so I haven't sat through many job interviews in 20 years. But we know salary's coming up. But when it's the first thing, it is a bad look
turn
for
off.
Me. It's a turnoff because, listen, I know that what you want to get paid, what the benefit package looks like, what the bonus structure, whatever's pertinent to that discussion, it's coming up. It's the elephant in the room. I understand no one's coming to work for free, and they understand in today's NIL world, no one's coming for zero. So let that naturally work into the conversation, because that's exactly what Miss Terry's talking about, and I bet she does serve a good breakfast. why are we doing this? Because in their minds and the way they've done it for Coach Saban's career is we think it's lip service, but I think they truly do value their role in the betterment of those kids' lives, in the development of not just their football career, but their lives. And it's really undercutting what has been their mission.
Their system was, you come to Alabama, there's a 90% chance that you're going to get at least a free agent contract in the NFL.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to earn it. And that went out the window because they don't really care about that anymore. They care about what they're going to get paid the very first day.
Because in advance.
That first check, they go buy a Camaro.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, that's what's going on at Arkansas.
And that's why fans resent it.
I've visited with a guy that's in the auto care business in Northwest Arkansas, and he said he remembers when Darren McFadden was there, and he was driving a broken down, I think it was a Crown Vic, and it was in there every 3 weeks to get something fixed.
Yeah.
Broken down. Marcus loved the same thing.
Awesome ride.
I know that someone we both know very well helped put some wheels and tires on
that
Crown Vic.
And that's the same thing now. Those top players, they're driving brand new cars, and guess what? They're still seeing those same guys because they're buying new rims, they're buying new leather seats, they're buying
But you're asking me to donate $50 a month
for that.
Yeah.
While my quarterback's walking in Gucci shoes and driving his sports car, and I don't have Gucci shoes.
Yeah.
And Ty does. I don't. You don't. But I mean,
I was told this week the quarterback flew his family to games in NetJets.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, what you had Jackson Dart post a picture of the new jet that he's been partnership of. And I think, Tommy, you bring up a fair point. Not only – so Chuck mentioned this either this week or last week. I thought it was an excellent point. So the SEC is throwing all these figures and money and $50 million of distribution in our fans and everyone else's fans' faces. And then on top of that, like you just said, you got Carson Beck showing the Lambo. And Georgia's been good the last couple years. But I've seen Georgia fans being like, yo, like, we're barely making ends meet, and this kid is just flashing all that. Like, no one likes, and this is not just an athlete thing. Any of your buddies.
10 years from now, that guy's going to be driving a broken down Pinto.
Well, and think about your buddies. Think about what drives you up like a wall with your friends. It's when that one guy, you like the friend that has money that never says anything. You hate the guy that's always flashy. You hate the guy that's always talking about how much money he gets.
I hate the guy that's got the money and never picks up the tab.
Yeah, that too. Luckily, I don't have any money, so I don't have to worry about picking up the tab. But that is, again.
I got the next one.
Yeah.
Thanks, Clay. Appreciate it. But that is, again.
Captain Alligator Arms.
It's not just a college football thing. It is a lifestyle and just a friendship type of thing, too. It touches all phases. So, yes, plenty
no
of.
Tiger.
Yeah.
No tip
yeah.
tiger.
Yeah. Hey, sports fans. Don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
So Arkansas's got the Vanderbilt Commodores tonight, 6 o'clock, 5:30 pregame coverage, beginning with Chuck and Z right here on ESPN Arkansas. HitThatLine.com and our brand new Hit That Line Now app. Muss, his thoughts on the Vandy film.
I think it's extremely important as you play a team multiple times that you look and review things that you did well and things that you didn't do well. And certainly Jerry Stackhouse, they run great stuff. They'll change up their defenses. They have three players that are playing at a high level, and Coach Stackhouse does a great job of getting Manjon and T. Lawrence and Lubin inside. He gets those three guys the basketball, and then they have other guys that are surrounding those three that can make threes.
Those are the main three guys that really hurt you last time. I think Manjon had 22, and the one guy had 18, the one guy had 19. So they're really trying to, again, stop those three guys tonight in Bridgestone Arena, Clay and Tommy.
The zone defense just discombobulated them in that game. Everything was fine. Mm-hmm. They switched to the zone, and it was like they'd never seen it. I think they'd been good against zone most of the year. Ty, you can speak to that better
than
me.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm. And they did not handle it well that game. They got stagnant on offense when they tried to make passes. They were playing in the seams. They deflected those passes. They got some defensive, what do they call, live ball turnovers that led to points. And all at once the game
usually leads to fast breaks and instant points.
The game flipped around, and they never regained control of the game again.
Well, I go back to, I've called them a spotlight team. They're a bright lights team. The Vandy game, not a bright lights game. And yeah. I think this team plays up and down to its competition. And
had no pizzazz, energy.
They had no juice for that game. And maybe the bright lights of the SEC tournament, even though it is Wednesday night, it is not the most desirable night. It would be the smallest crowds of the week. What is it, Ruskin and Zach are calling it, the Gitmo games?
What games?
Gitmo.
It's hard to figure this team out. That they could take Alabama.
They find the juice.
They take Alabama to overtime on the road. They beat Purdue. They beat Duke.
Played the heck out of Kentucky at Rupp.
Yep.
Without question, they went, scored over 100 points at Rupp, which that hasn't happened too many times, for the visiting team. They didn't win.
How many times do you think Arkansas scored over 100 and lost, though? I don't know that. That's
not
a hog stat still, but you've watched far more games than me. I bet there's been – probably less than 10 times. I bet you can count them on one hand. I was going to say less than 10.
I want to say there's like four or five, Tommy, and there was only one that Arkansas lost. So like they've scored like over 100 like four or five times, and there was only one that feel like I had that.
So what I'm getting at is that they can play that way.
Yeah.
You know, you've created the standard. They don't the standard all the time.
No, you're 100% right.
You got to choose to.
And you mentioned something important there. We'll tie this into baseball. And it's kind of what Dave Van Horn was speaking to yesterday, that, again, the baseball team, they played a game last night right before conference play, and it worried him a little bit. Here's comments after the game.
Had me a little worried because of conference starting this weekend and, you know, the game before after the weekend. And, you know, I thought our guys showed up. They were into it. I just thought Roberts pitched just pretty good for the most part. Really good to see Fisher and Gackley, our young pitchers, go out and continue to pretty much pound the zone, throw a lot of strikes.
So he mentioned two guys there. Colin Fisher, a young man from not Norman or the Oklahoma area. I'm blanking on where. Noble, Oklahoma.
Noble, Oklahoma, just south of Norman.
Chicken fried steak place. And then Gabe Gackle, which Gackle has kind of turned in. I think it's his fourth save of the season. He's been really good. He's got a below 3 ERA, 19 strikeouts over 12.1 innings, and finished the game last night.
The 1-2. Hit in the air to left field. Lovich is on the run. Lovich still on the move, and he makes the catch in the gap for the third out.
So he was, I thought, I've been very impressed. Again, he's a true freshman. Well, Fisher's a true freshman. Fisher's apparently might be playing this weekend based on Dave pulling him a little early. But, guys, we might be looking at Arkansas's closer in Gackle these few games.
Maybe. You got about four starters with this team. You got a good mix of lefties, righties. You got two mid-relief guys. You got really two, you know, Gage Wood and Gackle. You got two close. I mean, you've kind of got it set up where you got multiple options for multiple days, righties and lefties, in kind of what is it? I don't know, three phases of pitching. You maybe terminology that up better than me, but you know, you got starters, mid relievers, and closers now. I mean, and you use all three in the course of nine innings, and you got multiple options there, Clay.
Yeah, it looks like Will McIntyre is that long reliever that they know that. He can get him to the end of the game.
He can come into the second inning if needed.
He can pitch twice on the weekend if you don't use him too much the first game. But
could he start in a jam? Like if you end up postseason?
Oh, he has started, yes.
He has, but, I mean, we saw it early with Hagan Smith when he had that bad outing early.
You get
early.
Into where you're playing five games on a weekend in a regional. Yeah, he can do that.
He can do it.
But I think Gackle is he's what Hagan Smith was as a true freshman. He is, you know, what we're seeing now is the tip of the iceberg. He has electric stuff already. He's going to get stronger. He's young. He hit 97, 98 last night. He'll hit 100 before he's, you know, junior.
You can absorb an injury and you can absorb a slump because you got enough depth in the pitching. Now, the question is, do you have enough hitting if things get, you know, get sluggish for a week or two. Can you at the wrong time? Do you have enough hitting and enough there? Because I think you got the fielding. I think you got the pitching. The question is still, do you have enough hitting if some of your hot bats go a little bit cold?
Yeah, I think that they've got. And this is what happens with a baseball team. They don't fire on all cylinders at all time as far as your bats. You'd like to get a few more going. And they're figuring it out. And they're going to hit some home runs. Let me speak to what they ran into last night. Just remember this. That's a good Oral Roberts program. They were in the College World Series last year. They're not, you know, your typical midweek game where you're going to run rule them.
I mean, I don't know who all they played. I think their record was 7-9. I was looking at the box score. But to your point, UCA last week was a very good, last Tuesday, a very good team that's taken LSU and Ole Miss and played their butts off just like they did the Razorbacks.
You need to play those teams before you go into conference, and they get Missouri first, and that's a program that they should handle. They took their best players.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
All right, before I make people mad, let's hear from Marcus and Harrison, who's on the McCarty Dana Hotline. Marcus, welcome into the program, buddy.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I started listening to you guys a couple years ago. My son, early morning football practice, and drop him off. Listen to you guys. You guys have kind of grown on me. Even Ty's grown on me, fellas.
Yeah, we're kind of like mold or a fungus. We just grow on you. So
a danger light just came on.
Yeah. Little perspective here. I played college basketball for Charlie Spoonhauer. I think you guys remember Coach Spoon.
I knew Charlie really well. Yep.
Yeah, great guy. Love Spoon. He's from Rogers. He coached at Missouri State, and he was played for him at St. Louis. He went on to UNLV. Back in the early 90s, and I was a point guard. I was nothing special. I knew my role to get the ball to the scorers. But the difference back then, we all had the same gear. We had the same scholarship. We had one pair of sweatpants. I remember my junior year, I had a beat-up Ford Escort. I was the only kid on the team that had a vehicle. I'm driving guys all over St. Louis. It was just a different time, but I say that is we had unity as a team because we were all in the same boat. And now you've created a culture where you have the have and the have-nots within a locker room with yeah. football and basketball. Mm-hmm. And kind of jumping on your conversation you guys had earlier, I'm a physical therapist now. I've several clinics that my wife and I own in the area over here. When I interview a physical therapist, it's the first thing they talk about, how much are you going to pay me? What's your bonus structure? I mean, if it starts with money, it's always going to be about money. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a thing that Pittman and Mush should look at when you're recruiting these kids. If it starts with money, it's always going to be money. And it's just, I'm a season ticket holder now, come to a lot of the games. But it's really sad that you look at everything that I'm doing in my business that before I was investing in the student-athlete and their scholarships, and you felt differently about it than you do now, that it's just a different landscape. And I'm always going to be a Razorback fan, through thick and thin. I'm going to do that, but it's just a different landscape, and I just want you guys, your kind of thoughts on that of what you guys think about all that.
Well, I think you're exactly right. I think you've created a class system within the locker room.
Marcus.
Yeah, thanks for the appreciate the call on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. And you're not at an age where you can process that like maybe a pro can 5 or 6 years down the road from there.
First of all, Charlie Spoonhauer was a prince of a man, a prince of a man. He and a great, great coach. And it always does my heart good when I hear that name because I enjoyed covering him. And he was one of those coaches that you're sitting courtside, the media is, and it's during a really bad part of the game. His team's not doing well, which was not very often because they were good.
And he'd walk over and he's like, man, y'all can leave if y'all want to. This is horrible.
Please don't write about this.
Yeah. I mean, Charlie was just he was a gem. And the post-game interviews, he knew our names. I mean, and we'd say something. He goes, I read your story. I know you can write or you can't.
Yeah.
He said, I know when I'm coaching against somebody, I know if they can coach or they can't. Same thing with you guys. Some of y'all can't write.
Yeah. See, I know I can't. I think what some of Marcus is asking about there is, it comes from the parents, because we got to realize the generation are now raising today's teenagers that are these players that are being recruited. And I think a lot of this is coming from that parent that they graduated high school.
Or an uncle.
When? They graduated in, 2000, wherever it is now. And, early 2000s, late 90s. And just the mindset and the culture and the work ethic and what they value is different. So that's how those kids were raised. And it's not just, NIL problems. It's just like he was talking about there in a physical therapy clinic. It's the same thing there. It's just the way you're raised.
Well, here's what I would say to that, and this is, again, without kids, but part of the problem with that is the parents that give them too much leeway. And I know that y'all have laughed at the idea that I'm going to be harder on my kids than my dad was, but I am, because I was given, at times, too much leeway, and it led to some idiotic mistakes. And now, seeing that firsthand, there are some areas that I'm going to be much more stringent, much more harsh, and frankly, more of just a you-know-what to my kids.
You're going to be more strict.
Yeah, especially strict.
I knew I didn't like Brad. I knew I didn't like him.
He's a great father. There's nothing ill I could say about it. But I'm just going to be harsher on my kids than maybe he was.
You're going to beat them a little more.
Yeah, just slap them around a little bit. We're going to get Child Protective Services called on me before I even have kids. But I think
got stories for you.
I bet you do. And listen, I'm saying all this stuff, and then I'll probably wilt when I actually have a son or a daughter. But I think what stands out to me there is Marcus is the owner. Like he mentioned, he owns a couple PT clinics with his wife. And he makes more money than probably any of his employees. Tommy, you make more money than me. Like
That's how it works.
The thing about this is, it's like society's always been this way. Some people have always made more money than others. Coaches are always, I say always, we don't know if that's going to be the case. Coaches might, in the NFL, it's not that way anymore. In college football, it might not be that way. There will be some players maybe at some point that make more money than their head college football coach. And that idea, I think, rubs people the wrong way.
But it's still based on performance. And here's the problem. That coach that's making those millions of dollars, like Sam Pittman, may not be getting the results you want, but Sam Pittman's put in nearly 30 years as a college football coach. He's worked his way up the ladder. He's made many moves, many stops, paid his dues to earn his way to make the money he's making. What has that 18-year-old done in anything beyond high school to earn any of that?
Listen, this is where we're always going to disagree, okay? There are kids that are 12 years old that make more money than you, that have made more money in a day than you'll make in your entire life.
Sure.
And you don't like that because you've worked 20-plus years in the industry.
But those kids did something to earn that money. They created those follows, created those likes by creating that content and what you're referring to, because that's where these 15-year-olds are making $1 million a month on social media. They created the content to earn that. I have no problem with that. What in the hell has an 18-year-old done in college football? Nothing. They've attended a few practices.
But what if they're worth that money when they get to it?
What if they're not? They're wanting to be paid in advance on performance they haven't completed.
I would say that a high school player probably has about a 20% chance to earn that money his first year. He's not going to earn.
No.
I mean, in all of the offensive linemen,
they have no track record.
They're going to get their butt kicked that first day of practice. And their gold chains will get rattled. It's like they'll be broken and laying in the dirt.
Because
they're not equipped physically to go against men.
Because why are they being paid now, Ty? Why is a 17 or 18-year-old kid that's going to enroll in December
skip it? To get him to campus.
So are you saying that NIL is pay for play? It has nothing to do with marketing, name, image, likeness, which is what it stands for. It has zero to do with that, right?
I don't think it has zero to do with it, but it has something to do with it. But
then,
it
what
has,
are they, then what are these schools getting the money to them for if it's not that? It's not for their name, image, likeness, because they've created no brand in the college ranks. I mean, that
some of them aren't even trying to do
so,
that.
But yeah, but
they're not.
And the majority of that, Tommy, right. But Caleb Downs, for example, is a true freshman who started for Nick Saban last year. He was worth more than he got paid. He's a true freshman All-American.
At the beginning
American,
or at the
SEC.
End? At the beginning or the end?
Probably worth at more at the end.
At the end, because he had done nothing at the beginning to earn it. Do you get your bonus at the beginning of the year or the end of the year?
I get a bonus?
You did last year. Did you get it at the beginning or the end?
I think at the end.
At the end. Why? Because it was based on what?
Because I earned it.
It was based on your performance. Clay, did you ever get a bonus ahead of the performance? Or was
Never.
It always after you performed?
It was after.
Yeah. And it was when you went above and beyond or had done more
I didn't
than
ever,
expectation,
let's
right?
Just get to
because
the,
cause
it,
you get paid a salary to do your expect to do what's expected.
But the same thing worked with the salary. I never got a salary before I did a month's
right,
work.
Right, because your paycheck came when?
At the end of the work week.
So what is your resolution, Tommy? Here's where the rubber meets the road. And I hear all these complaints that you have, which are valid in a lot of cases.
Tell me where
but
I'm
you
wrong.
I'm not, what did I just say? Your complaints are valid. But what I'm asking is, what's the resolution? How do you think that? Because all these people have complaints. All these people have ideas.
Okay.
All these people
want to
push
back. I can fix it with one rule. I can fix it with one rule. Now, it's not going to hold up in court's the problem. But the rule would be freshmen, players entering college for the first year cannot get NIL deals.
Okay.
Till the end of their freshman season. That way you take all of this that has come about now. You know, maybe wink, wink, behind the scenes, hey, we're going to pay you this. Your second year, becomes then the problem.
That makes sense.
You can't get a rule that's going to fix everything. But tell me why, if it's all about name, image, and likeness, tell me why we would pay virtually anybody anything coming out of high school. Your value is zero.
That's just
in most
a phrase
cases.
That's been used, Tommy. It's not even it's not
But
even
that's
even
what it was
real.
That's what the rule was intended to be. And I warned everybody on this show, hey, here's what it's going to become. The Wild West. They're going to be paying players to come to their school in the name of name, image, likeness. So how do you stop it? Well, there is no value for your name, image, or likeness when you're a high school kid. Entering for the first year.
I heard Dan Mullen discussing this. This was a conversation that he had in 2017 and 2018 with multiple people. I think a senator or two, Congress or two as well. And then, of course, it comes down, and I believe it was July 2nd of 2021 when this comes into effect. And like you're saying, there's no – it just didn't seem like that they were what I think the NCAA is scared of, like you're saying, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, is that – What they would put into place initially would be struck down. They'd have to go to court, pay for it, and then go through that whole process. So they went in this thing willy-nilly, slapped basically a Band-Aid on it, and now we're suffering, quote-unquote, the consequences. Is that a correct way to look at what happened three years ago?
Every time they try to put structure or to restrict, then the court comes back and says that's wrong.
Correct, yeah. And so
that's not afraid it's going to happen. That has happened.
Yeah.
And so to what you just said, Tommy, again, the idea in theory works in our head. Like, I completely get where you're coming from, but it's not feasible in real life. It is,
but you'd have to have collective bargaining, and they'd have to agree to it.
Well, so they'd have to become employees of the school based on the current
employees
structure.
Employees of the school, collective bargaining, unionized. And that is... I can remember about 25 years ago when I started hearing the word student-athlete, and I asked somebody, kind of behind the scenes, what's the deal with that word? He said, we're scared of employee conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing that no one
Insurance,
talks about
employees.
If this
taxes.
Money gets shifted from the way it's set up now to fund the athletic department, where the money that comes in from the conference distribution, ticket sales, so on and so forth, that money right now can't be used for NIL. But if we cross that threshold and change that rule, what happens to the size of the administration? What happens to the big salaries in college athletics, not just at Arkansas, but everywhere, where you got the associate athletic director of...
We go back 50 years.
We roll that back, and instead of them making $250,000 to do... the job that Frank Broyles had five people doing, or had one person doing the job of five. We go back to that model, and they're not making a quarter million. And that's what the powers that be behind the scenes are fighting until they can get to their retirement date.
And Greg Byrne said something interesting in this conversation yesterday is about Olympic sports, which, again, I didn't get it. Like Richard, who we had earlier, I didn't get a chance to listen to everything. But, I mean, the cutting of Olympic sports, like, Arkansas' success right now is not in the three big dogs. It's not in football. It's not in basketball. It was previous 3 years. Baseball-wise, yes. But two of your three major sports didn't do squat this year.
Yeah, the only
thing that's
money.
The only thing that's saving in terms of on the field success, the money thing is accurate. But in turn, the Olympic sports and the other sports are the ones that are actually doing something
right
on campus right now. So again, that is a conversation not just Greg Byrne is thinking about, the Alabama athletics director, but every athletics administration and director across the country is having to contemplate if. Like Clay pointed out with the budget cuts and everything like that.
But your money's coming still from football.
Correct.
And basketball.
Yes, it subsidizes
70% football, another 20% basketball, and everything else. Is a financial loser, but contributes mm-hmm. about 10% of the budget.
So you're going to end up with a college program that looks like the NFL. In other words, football and nothing else.
Yeah. Is that what you want?
I don't think it is, but
no.
That's where it's heading.
Yeah, and it'll lead to fewer sports on campus at some point.
Derek in Fayetteville says they need to be downsided on salaries regardless. Schools obviously have way too much money. Look at every single body, every single facility. They're top-notch. There's plenty of money to pay these athletes that doesn't come from the regular fan. That is his thoughts this morning on the McCarty-Daniel Hotline.
You know, used to it, it was enough that you just bought tickets, right? You just all you had to do is buy your tickets, and that helped support the student-athlete or the university. Then we got to a point where, you need to donate a little bit to get those seats. Then you need to donate more, and you need to buy your parking pass. And now we went beyond that. We busted way through that to, we need you to do all of this plus give an NI, so at some point the money runs out from the average fan. It just mm-hmm. does. So, and your willingness to give runs out when you're not winning many games.
Yeah, we don't. I mean, Lynn, but said it before. We're not exactly the. We're not we have a Shangri-La in Mount Ida, but we don't live. Like, the majority of our state is not Northwest Arkansas looking. We're not all Waltons. We're not all Tysons. We're not all Hunts. Like, we don't have just this excess money that we can pour in and everything. We got to worry about feeding our families. We got to worry about putting roofs over our heads, making sure we have heating, water, all that. And
we're a state of 3.1 million people total, too. I mean, that's where we're at. part of Dallas is bigger than that.
The
numbers are, it comes down to math a lot of times. How many people you got and what's the average income? And that's, when people think, everybody hates on Arkansas. Well, some of it's just the reality of the size of the state you are, where you're at. And, hey, there's a lot of growth going on. There are things that I think will grow this state, but mm-hmm. not to the point it's going to change our athletic department in the next 5 years. Or
tell me we're not.
Even.
You tell me that I'm forgetting the owner of the Broncos. It's not going to become the Benville Broncos anytime soon.
Because Mr. Walton, you forgot Mr. Walton's name.
I thought it was a Walton connection. So Mr. Walton, it's not going to become a Benville Broncos. We're not getting an NFL team anytime soon.
I don't believe that's going to be the direction they head with that. I don't believe Roger Goodell and the other owners would approve that.
Can you imagine? Ugh.
So, I don't think that's where we're headed.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.